Stampede Blue. What we talking about? Indianapolis, AFC South. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Topics, loaded like offense. Colt-centric, talk about it often. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out.
Welcome back to another Stampede Blue Colts cast. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm your host, Matt Dainley. Big win for the Colts in week two. They did bounce back against the Minnesota Vikings. End up pulling out a 28-11 win. Pretty dominant for the most part throughout the entire game, so that's nice to see after a loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars in week one. Just real quick, around the rest of the AFC South, the Jaguars did lose by three, I believe on a last second field goal, to the Titans, 33-30, and the Texans were beat by the Baltimore Ravens. I think they were nearly doubled up. I think it was 30-16 was the final score in that one. So the Colts win, big win. Climbing back up, looked a little more polished this week. Some news and notes, you know, so to speak, to go along with what we saw in the game. I think we saw a little bit better all-around game from Kirk Cousins, or I'm sorry, from from Philip Rivers, which I think, you know, made a lot of people pretty happy. We didn't see a whole lot of bad throws. We saw a couple. We saw him start to force a few things to Hilton. And just in general, you know, there was a little bit of some, man, that's not a good throw. Luckily, there were some penalty flags on a couple of them. They weren't, you know, they weren't negative plays. They were simply incompletions. And that was probably the best end result from those plays, to be perfectly honest with you. Also, news on Campbell and Hooker, both going out in this game. Campbell with a knee, Hooker with an Achilles. At least at this moment, it appears that Hooker's is more serious than Campbell's. They fear that Hooker may have torn his Achilles, which is typically, I mean, I don't know too many people that go out from a bruised or a strained Achilles really very often. Usually if you do something to the Achilles, it's curtains. So that's bad news for Hooker, especially in a year when he's hoping to have a big year going into free agency. Campbell, on the other hand, you know, his didn't look, at least, you know, I watched it twice. The first time I couldn't really tell, but the second time I watched it, you could see that his left foot was planted when his knee was hit. It did kind of bank inside. What didn't hyperextend, you know, so that it wasn't that just obvious torn ACL or anything like that. So it's still hard to see what he got. They say that that he kind of dodged a bullet with the ACL and will end up having an MRI within the next day or so to kind of really determine what actually happened with his knee. Maybe it's just a bruise. Maybe it's a strain. MCL, ACL, PCL. We don't know what it is right now, but I still with Campbell, with a guy like that who's so reliant on his speed and being able to cut, I don't think we're going to see him for a few weeks, to be perfectly honest with you. So kind of going through some of the notes that I took from the game. Overall, it's a game that you wanted to see the Colts play on both sides of the ball. You wanted to see them control the clock. You wanted to see them kind of dominate defensively and keep those points, those yardage, the yards per drive way down. And that's exactly what they did. The Vikings came out in the first their first drive with the 13-play field goal drive. Then the Colts held them on six straight possessions and into the second half to four or fewer plays per drive. That was huge. I mean, the Colts were forcing punt after punt, stopping them, interception just over and over and over again, which was nice to see, giving the Colts, you know, some of those gimmies, some extra points. One of the things that I thought about throughout the game, yes, the Colts did convert one of those into a touchdown, but the Colts were very okay with taking field goal points, which was fine to a point. You want to see those turn into touchdowns as often as possible, though. Not really much of a real complaint at this point because the Colts were dominating the game. But, you know, closer games, better teams, those, you know, Colts are going to have to turn those into six. The Colts did end up having another three and out of the last, the final three drives for the Vikings. The Vikings only put together six plays and eight plays in the other two of their final three drives of the game. So overall, very good game from the defense. You'd love to see that. Even though we complained a lot about the Colts defense in the first week against the Jaguars, the Colts defense now is allowing 20 yards per drive, 171 total rushing yards in 2 weeks, less than 250 passing yards. And that includes the sack yardage, which is 7 sacks. So the negative yardage they took from that, you get just under 250 passing yards. You got to like that. You don't like, you know, the end result that Jacksonville was so efficient with putting points on the board against the Colts. But when you look at the total package of kind of the Colts just really taking that bend don't break, then turning some of that into some turnovers today, you'll take that today, hope that they'll kind of mesh the two types of games all in one and kind of help the team that way. Rivers was 19 of 25, 214 yards, touchdown and a pick. Should have had another 45 yards and a touchdown. Big drop from T.Y. Hilton, not impressed with that. He was pretty quiet throughout the day. Only had a few catches, not a lot of yardage. Like I said, pretty quiet. I wasn't concerned with Rivers' interception all that much. Went off of Mo Ali Cox's chest into the defender's hands. That happens. So not – it wasn't via a shitty throw, more or less, you know, just to keep it simple. So you like that. Rivers had a pretty good game, controlled the offense really well. You like how much he got some of the everybody involved, you know, and he was helped a lot by some of the play, especially Taylor, of course. 26 carries for 101 yards and a touchdown. Wilkins helped a lot when he came in there. Didn't really touch the ball until the second half, which I was wondering. I think Taylor had what? 18, 19 carries at halftime, something like that. That's a huge load for him to carry. And I don't think that's conceivable to think that he can do that week in and week out. I don't think we want him to do that week in and week out. So it was nice to see Wilkins come in, handle his nine touches behind the line of scrimmage for 40 yards, 4.4 yardage, yards per carry. Mo Ali Cox caught 5 passes for 111 yards. You like to see that. Pittman was pretty effective. Had a few penalties today, mostly on blocking, but you like to see the aggressiveness from him. 4 catches for 37 yards. Got a lot of snaps and looked pretty good. Made some big catches. Even, you know, on a tipped pass, ended up tipping it to himself again and bringing it down, which could have easily turned into an interception. Pascal was aggressive blocking and especially on special teams. Also caught a 2-yard touchdown. Other than that, caught, another ball across the middle for a first down. And I think he had 3 catches on the day. Hines didn't get the workload he did in week one, which may have been by design to kind of, you know, possibly throw off the Vikings' defensive game plan. Plus, with Taylor being so active in the game plan this week with 26 touches, you know, that could have been that plus the equaled success that Taylor had could have been why Hines just wasn't as involved as he, you know, had been in week one, which ultimately is kind of, you know, either what you want or is just okay, depending on what your outlook is on it from the Hines perspective. You like that he's getting a lot of touches, kind of having that Eckler role within the Colts offense, but you like that the Colts were able to move it around and add more pieces in and get, like, especially Mo Ali Cox with the day he had, you know, that it's just nice that you're getting real production from a lot of other guys. And, you know, Hines just simply didn't need to be the guy this week, so that was nice. Defensively, Moore had 2 passes defensed and an interception, looked good all day. Buckner was more noticeably active today. Had a sack and a half and 4 quarterback hits, was good against the run. You like seeing that from the guy that you traded away a first-round pick for and you paid almost $100 million, whatever that was, but, you know, that's good. Getting a return on investment from that guy, and he looked really good. Also, one of those sacks was the safety early on in the, second quarter. DeNico Autry was real active, contributed on that safety that Buckner had, but didn't carry much of a stat line. You know, we saw him come free, putting pressure on Cousins. That was good to see from him. One that I was especially happy about was Tyquan Lewis getting a sack. Looked real twitchy doing it. That's what you like to see. I mean, quick feet, quick hands, able to beat his guy across from him, you know, he didn't get a ton of snaps, but he did do well when he was in. So you like to see that. A lot from the front. You know, we also saw Grover Stewart getting involved, pressuring Cousins. So you like to see that defensive line really working together, starting to get some chemistry. That's huge. Houston had a half a sack, one with Buckner later on in the game. TJ Carey, I was a little worried about him starting with Rocky Sin out of the lineup, but he had two passes defensed and an interception as well, and played pretty well overall in his starting role. It was good to see Rhodes not getting beat, you know, playing and play out. Had a big pass defense. I'm not sure when it was in the game, but, you know, was able – he was kind of beat. You know, he had – if Cousins could have laid it a little bit over the top a little bit more, that's a completion. I don't think it would have gone for much more than what the original throw was for. However, it was nice to see Rhodes be able to get a hand in there. And we didn't see him getting beat in and out, so that was nice. Willis had an interception. Blackman had a great game. One of his two passes defensed led to that Willis interception. He had a couple big, powerful tackles. Blackman, I think Blackman could be a real find. Has that natural ability to take the right angles towards the ball, with the ball in the air. And that's something that, you know, we haven't really noticed, I don't think, as a whole from Hooker, that we hoped that was his thing coming out of Ohio State, right? That this guy is just a premier center fielder, takes the right angles, blah, blah, blah. And he hasn't really been that noticeably that guy, especially with him hurt now and Blackman looking like he's the guy. You know, they wanted that guy, and he hits hard. And I made the comment during the game on Twitter that he is the guy that they wanted TJ Green to be, and TJ Green never even touched, you know, being that kind of guy. And Blackman looks, at least at first blush, like that's who he's going to be. Hard hitter, smart with his angles towards the ball in the air, good defensively, able to come up instinctual. That's what you like to see out of a guy like that, especially with his ability to he's not going to play corner for the Colts, but he has some, you know, ability to kind of play in some different roles that will help the Colts out a lot, I think. Blankenship went 4-for-4 with field goals. Like to see that. I still catch myself holding my breath when he kicks, just because it's the kicker thing, and you just don't want that to be an issue week to week or ever, you know, in a game, especially when you've got an older quarterback, can throw the ball deep. You know, obviously we saw that today, 50-some yards in the air. It was a 45-yard throw from line of scrimmage to end zone. However, we saw that Philip Rivers can throw the ball to the end zone, you know, and have him throw the ball 55-plus yards without a problem. However, you just don't want kicking to come into the picture here when you've got a guy who is going to throw interceptions, probably some untimely ones. Hopefully T.Y. Hilton got, you know, his jitters out, and the rest of the team is kind of coming together. The offensive line looked really good today as well. Colts doubled the Vikings in first downs on the day, 24-12. Each team gave the other a healthy amount of firsts by penalty. The Vikings gave the Colts 3, and the Colts gave them 4. Neither team was good on third down. Vikings were 2 of 9. The Colts were 3 of 11. And the Colts were 1 of 1 on fourth down, so 4 of 12 on yardage to go. The Colts were 2 of 4 in the red zone. Vikings were 1 of 2, both 50%. Colts obviously won the turnover battle and nearly doubled the Vikings in time of possession. The Colts weren't great in the penalty department, though. 9 for 93 yards. That is something that cannot happen. You know, these are some positives, negatives, whatever, but we see that there's areas here where the Colts didn't play particularly well or didn't execute particularly well, where they're going to have to play better against better competition. Now, playing against the Jets this coming week, you know, that may not come into play, but the Colts don't play well against the Jets. We've seen that several times. And the Colts really, really need to tighten this kind of stuff up. The Colts did, however, double the Vikings in yards per drive, roughly 35 to 17 yards per drive. That's something that, you know, the Colts absolutely have to continue to do. Move the chains. And they found ways to do it, and they're creative about it. Love to see that from Frank Reich. Didn't get down. I was a little worried about Taylor. before the game. I was worried that he wasn't necessarily prepared to shoulder the load. He did this week. I don't know. He's still rookie, guys. So it's not like I'm saying anything negative about him. I love the player. I just think that it's a lot to ask of a rookie, and the Colts are going to continue to have to be creative week in and week out when it comes to their offensive game plan. They're going to have to continue to get Mo Alie-Cox involved. What is the tight end position really, really about right now with Jack Doyle? And I told you guys about this last year. You know, yes, Doyle's back. I don't think Doyle's going to be lasting much longer. He's injured now. He was never fast, but he's not got the speed. He is an excellent route runner, but that's an issue. That's a real worry, in my opinion. So the Colts have to figure out their tight end situation for real. You know, they really do. That's an issue. Mo Alie-Cox looks like he is at least, at the very minimum, a great number two in that department. So hoping that he can continue to do that, continue to run routes, show his athleticism, and go up and get 50-50 balls like he did today, in the future, because that's a huge get. That's a huge plus for the Colts going forward. There's just a lot of areas where the Colts need to get better. Hopefully the Colts can continue to do that going forward. We saw that the Vikings played like crap in week one. And let's be honest, the Vikings play like shit this week too. But the Colts did what they had to do to continue to control the ball, win the game, both sides of the line of scrimmage. They played well defensively. They made some plays, especially on the ball. That's a huge deal. Not just made good tackles, not just kept them, you know, behind the line of scrimmage, because the Vikings running game wasn't terrible. At least per yards per carry, it was better than the Colts significantly, almost a full yard. So this wasn't a dominant performance from the Colts defense. This was a mixture of bad game plan, lack of execution on the Vikings part, and the Colts doing what they had to do to make plays. So it did work out for the Colts, and they ended up shutting it down for the most part and turned the Vikings into a very one-dimensional team. But this is something that, like I said, against better teams, against better coach teams, and with better executing teams, this is going to be a issue for the Colts if they don't kind of tighten it up a little bit. However, excellent end result. Colts are 1-1 now. Host the Jets in week 3. Love that going forward for the Colts and this whole team. Hopefully that the Colts can get a little bit healthier, especially for next week too. You do like to see that the Colts cornerback group played as well as they did. The secondary in general, with injuries and illness, you know, Rocky Sin out, Malik Hooker getting hurt. Something that you really like to see is everybody stepping up. So you love that. And we didn't see a whole lot of negative play. There wasn't a bad bunch, you know, of pass interference calls or anything like that. So you'd like to see that. Everybody tackling well in the secondary too. So that's nice. I think overall pretty damn good week two for the Colts, considering everything that we've seen and understand at this point. So going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. I'm going to go through the game by possession for the most part. And then we'll sign off and we'll talk at least one more time this week. So we're going to take a quick break and I'll be right back. All right, folks, we're back. Let's go through the drives and kind of go through the game possession by possession here real fast. Just talking about some of the highlighted areas. As we mentioned, the Vikings went through that first possession, 13-play drive. Ended up getting a field goal from Bailey out of that. Autry throughout the drive was called for a roughing the passer, went high on Cousins. That could have been the end of the possession right there with no points on the board. However, Cousins and the Vikings kind of capitalized on that one with Dalvin Cook. They used a lot of running backs in this one too. At least three plus a tight end, if I'm not mistaken, caught a couple carries. But the Colts end up holding them. Cousins overthrows Rudolph on third down. The Colts force a field goal down 3-0 after a long drive. The Colts come right back, and, you know, you like to see what the Colts did in this game overall. However, you hate the end result in this because the Colts come back with another long drive of their own, kind of matching it. The first quarter here was only two drives. Campbell went down grabbing his knee after a sweep. Taylor ended up diving over the pile a handful of plays later. to gain two on a 4th and 1. That kept the chains moving for the Colts. Rivers ended up hooking up with Pittman later on for 6 or 7 to get another first down on a 3rd and 4. Later on, Rivers went to Taylor for a few. Didn't pick up the first, but the penalty in the Vikings gave the Colts a first down. It was an illegal contact. This one is one, and that was on 3rd and 10, right after Braden Smith was called for a false start. So this could have changed it too. This is where the penalties came in on both sides of the ball here for the Colts and Vikings. Ultimately, it was a drop by Mo Alie-Cox that ended up turning the ball back into the Vikings' hands. That went for a interception. Taylor had 11 carries for 45 yards on that first drive. Like I said, it was kind of debatable at first, you know, just the first look there, but you did see that the ball went off of Molly Cox's chest. The defender caught it again. 16-play drive, went over nine minutes worth of possession for the Colts. Very productive in general. You hoped that the Colts would have gotten some points out of that. However, the Colts forced a 3-and-out immediately following that. The Vikings did literally nothing. They started with the ball at their own 5-yard line. Cook ran for 1 yard. Cousins threw incomplete to Rudolph, went deep. Nice pass breakup for Kenny Moore. Colts force them off on 3rd and 9, and the Colts end up punting. A bad punt plus a return from Hines after sliding to catch it, gets back up, gets the Colts to the 35-yard line of the Vikings. Rivers, that tipped pass I was telling you that was at the line of scrimmage, Pittman ends up tipping it to himself, pulled it in, ends up getting a nice play. Right before that, Pittman caught a 16-yard pass from Rivers as well. A few plays later, Taylor hit for a 5-yard touchdown run, putting the Colts up 7-3 with 11:45 to go in the second quarter. Taylor at this point now had 13 carries for 55 yards. He was at 4.2 yards per carry. The Colts end up doing really well again on defense on this following possession here. Leonard had a really nice stop on Madison. Cousins went to Smith. It was called back from an offensive pass interference. It turned into 3rd and 19. Madison had a nice run for 11 yards, but the Vikings still had to punt. Consecutive 3-and-outs for the Colts. At that point, that was a high point for me. I was like, consecutive 3-and-outs for the Colts defense? What is happening right now? Following Colts possession, the Colts had to punt. T.Y. dropped that surefire 45-yard touchdown. That was on first down play, too, and he was wide open. He just toasted Harrison from the Vikings. The Colts, you know, lost 7 points right there. And that, I'm not going to joke, that worried me. That instantly made me feel like, shit, this is where the tables turn, right here. I mean, this is what I, that was instantly my thought. Colts are up 7-3, could have gone up 14-3, not going to happen. However, the Colts were still playing well, and the Vikings were still playing terrible. So everything was falling, the ball was bouncing in the Colts court for the rest of this game, actually, as we know. Couple plays into the next Vikings drive, Rhodes bat down that ball that was intended for Thielen. It was 3rd and 7 at that point. Cousins got sacked for a safety by Buckner. Like I said earlier, Autry got the initial pressure. Buckner came and cleaned it up. The Colts were up 9-3 with just under 5 minutes to go in the second quarter. The Colts following possession, the Colts ended up having to settle for a field goal after Rivers threw incomplete to Pascal in the back of the end zone on a 3rd and 4 play. Blankenship hits from 28 yards. Colts up 12-3 with just over a minute to go. Cousins gets picked off by Willis. We saw this kind of the Hail Mary pass here. I take that back. Not yet. Cousins was picked off by Willis. This is the tip from Blackman on the following one, attempting to go deep on 3rd and 10. That was a third straight 3-and-out by the Colts defense. Colts trying to put some more points on the board here on their next possession with very little time to go. Colts had to settle for a 38-yard field goal from Blankenship. Colts were kind of okay with that. You know, went incomplete to Pittman. Taylor picks up 4, went back to Pittman for another 4. It was 4th and 2. Colts decided field goal points is good, especially when you're getting the ball early in the second half. TJ Carey ended up intercepting Cousins' final heave of the first half. So that was the end of the first half, 15-3 Colts. All in all, a very productive first half. Even though it was still only a 12-point game at this point, you still felt like the Colts had it well in hand. At halftime, this is when we found out that Hooker was ruled out with his Achilles. At that time, it was kind of like, okay, not good. But we did see that there was, you know, Blackman was playing good. We'll deal with it. Rivers ended up getting strip sacked on the first possession of the game, or the second half, excuse me, by Unique Ngakoue. Ended up getting recovered there. I believe Braden Smith recovered that. Rivers went to Hilton on a bubble screen for a minimal gain. Colts had to punt. It was a missed opportunity for the Colts to take some big momentum with them into the second half here. The Colts just did not look good on their first drive. You know, a 6 or 7 yard run was negated by a Braden Smith holding call. Rivers threw the ball to Hilton for like a 7 yard loss, 6 yard loss, something like that. Then you get the strip sack. It just was not a good start. Things were not looking good. You get to the next possession. There was good coverage on carry by Thielen by carry. Was an incomplete pass. Kenny Moore intercepted Cousins on a tip pass to, I can't remember what his name was, number 81 on the Vikings. And the Colts ended up taking over the Vikings 22 again. This was nice. Except here was another situation where the Colts didn't put 6 on the board but had to settle for 3. The Colts end up going 3 plays in. There was some miscommunication on an incomplete pass to Pittman. Colts had to go with Blankenship. I think it was a 38-yarder for this. 18-3. And this is where I said it. It's okay in this game, but the Colts have to do more with these opportunities than settling for field goals. Vikings on their next possession, this is one of their longer possessions of the second half for sure. Cousins gets sacked by Tyquan Lewis in this one. Thielen dropped a pass or two. The Colts were just really swarming on defense. There was an Eagle crackback. I mean, the Vikings were kind of just falling apart too here on this one. Nice punt return by Hines, though. Ended up was a fourth down. The Colts, this was kind of a turning point. So there's a penalty. The Colts end up having to, you know, the Vikings down the punt, I think, at the 5 yard line. There was a penalty. The Colts elect to replay fourth down. You get a nice return out of Hines. That was a difference. I think it looked like a difference in 34 yards for the Colts. And that had a lot to do with what ends up happening on the following drive here. You know, the Colts end up going down the field. Wilkins was starting to get some play here, picking up 6-7 yards. Pascal caught a 14-yard catch here. Taylor got a couple, but, you know, this is where Pittman started to kind of get it too aggressive and had a couple of penalties himself. In the end, Rivers end up connecting with Mo'Ale Cox, that big leaping catch, which was super nice. On the following play, Rivers hit Pascal for a 2-yard touchdown pass. Colts were up 25-3. Mo'Ale Cox had hit his total after that, 5 catches, 111 yards. Rivers at this point was 17 of 23 for 180, a touch and a pick. Colts go 3 and out, or Colts force the Vikings 3 and out, excuse me, on their next possession. Good pressure again from Buckner here. He lit Cousins up on second down, forcing the Vikings into a tough 3rd and 7 situation. Cousins had to try and go deep along the sideline to Thielen, overthrew him. It was good coverage, good all-around defensive possession for the Colts. Blankenship had to go for another 44-yard field goal attempt, hits it. Colts went up 28-3. Wilkins again was getting the bulk of the carries on the following one. Taylor earned 4 yards on that net on this drive, which gave him his 101 yards for the game, which was nice to see. They pretty much pulled him after that. The following possession for the Vikings, Cousins was sacked by Buckner in Houston. There was later on, Cousins hit Jefferson for a first down. And there was a phantom personal foul call on Leonard. It was just, in all honesty, it was complete bullshit. I don't understand the call at all. The guys on the broadcast were saying that it was, you know, that he was, loading up or whatever the hell they call that. But the dude hit him in his chest. I mean, he didn't hit him with a helmet. He didn't launch. That's what it was. They said he launched. I didn't see him launch at all. So I don't understand the penalty in that regard at all. Anyhow, Cook runs up for a touchdown. That ends up giving the final score, which was 28-11, with 5:20 to go in the game. Colts recover the onside kick. Colts wear the clock down. Neils ended up winning it after the 2-minute warning. Colts end up going 1-1, putting a really pretty decent game on paper and, you know, together. Now, I do think that Hilton is some sort of the worry here. If you're looking for a side note, you know, kind of, I don't want to say a side note, but if you're looking for something to maybe worry about, you look at the drops that Hilton had last game. I'm pretty certain that we all believe he's going to come around. Hilton had 3 catches for 28 yards on 5 targets. He did have a 28-yard catch. I mean, just add 45 yards to that is what he should have had. You know, what, 73 yards, a touchdown, 4 catches on 6 or 5 plays or 5 attempts. That looks a hell of a lot better than 3 catches for 28 yards. You know, that kind of shows you. And in fact, with the two I think he caught one for a negative 2 yards, and that other one I was talking about, like negative 6 or 7 yards. His 28-yard catch, you know, ended up bringing it back. So it was kind of crazy the way that went. Pascal, 3 catches on 4 attempts. And then Taylor, Doolin, and Hines combined for 4 catches and 19 yards. So not a lot. I mean, Mo Alie-Cox being your top dog by a great leap receiving, that's something I don't think any of us expected going into this game. In the end, Colts beat a team that's struggling right now. They lost a receiver last, you know, coming in the offseason. Now it's just basically Thielen, a couple tight ends, and, you know, their rookie Jefferson that the Kirk Cousins has to deal with. Still has Dalvin Cook in the backfield, but the Colts did their job today. And the Colts offense, again, you know, marched down the field several times. So you got to give the Colts some due offensively. Frank Reich deserves some praise for his creative play calling. The Colts defense, like I said, I don't think many of us were happy at all with the end result from the week one loss to the Jaguars. In a nutshell, though, you know, that's the way the Colts are going to have to play, keeping the ball in front of them, knocking the ball down, making some turnovers. And the Colts have 7 sacks defensively in 2 games. That's not terrible at all. So we'll kind of look at that like, and just to be perfectly honest with you, Gardner Minshew looked pretty damn good today. Threw for over 300 yards on the Titans, had a touch, like 2 or 3 touchdowns and a pick, maybe 2 picks even, but he was letting the ball go. And they only lost by 3 to the Titans, and I believe that was in Tennessee. I could be wrong, but I believe that's the case. So, and I think I told you guys this last week in the post-game podcast that I don't think that the Jaguars are all that bad. They got some young dudes defensively. They've got some playmakers offensively, and they've got a quarterback that's very much cool and calm and collected, who's going to take what no matter what the defense gives him. He can make some plays. He's got a decent enough arm to go downfield if necessary. He's patient. So I don't think the Jaguars are going to be nearly as bad as people think. So yes, that's not something the Colts definitely should have won that game, but that I don't think is going to be a loss that we all look at the end of the year and go, God, that team sucked. How did we lose? That's just one loss. That's going to screw us. There's going to be a handful of teams that get beat by the Jaguars that probably don't expect to be beat by the Jaguars. So I don't think that we're going to look on that as such an amazing defeat, you know, when it's all said and done. But like I said, Colts are coming into week 3. They're going to play the Jets. The Jets are kind of a hot mess. This is basically a game against the Colts, you know, farm system, more or less, in New York. There's a lot of former Colts on this team. We're going to look into that, kind of look at the game that they played this week, their loss in week 2. And we'll talk about what we're going to see in the Jets. We're going to get more from Stampede Radio, more from Pancakes this week. And we'll have another podcast later on in the week here on the Colts Cast to kind of break some things down, talk about what the Colts are going into with their week 3 game. So thank you guys all for listening. Go Colts, 1-1. We'll talk to you next time right here on the Colts Cast. Stampede Blue.